You know, most of us come to Dharma visualizing, hoping, wishing, praying, thinking, projecting that the minute you get into Dharma and you meet that all-powerful guru and you get that all-powerful mantra and you get that all-powerful teaching, just something clicks in your mind and something just turns around. And then everything you get from that guru, everything you get from that teacher, and every teaching that you get, you apply it and you immediately like get the results. And the minute you get the results, you know, you start coming out from hiding and you start appearing to the world as an enlightened, awakened, totally Buddha of the world. And you know, that single mantra, that single teaching, that single magical encounter with your guru doesn't mean that you'll come out and see the world the way you think. And we have misconceptions. We think that if we meet that all-powerful teacher, we meet that all-powerful master, and we get that all-powerful teaching, tantric or whatever, we totally transform overnight. And then we go home, we meditate, and we do the mantra, we do the offerings, we do it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and guess what? We're still where we are. And we still haven't changed. We still haven't transformed. We're still exactly the way we are. Because you know what? We created all the problems, and then we hide. And then we stay behind the problems. And then we come to the Dharma, and we expose ourselves a little. And then we hide. And then we expose ourselves. And then we hide. And then we come out. And then we expose ourselves. And then we're not happy. And then we hide again. Because you know what? We came to Dharma with all the problems. We came to Dharma with all of our samsara. We came to Dharma with all of our anger and hatred and desire and ignorance. We came to the Dharma with all these emotions. And we think that that all-magical Dharma, that all-magical mantra is going to take it all away. You know what? It can take it away. It can help you to come out. But you've got to do the homework. You see, because it's like a concert. You see the performer, you see the star, you see the lights, you see the perfect makeup, the hair, the costumes, the perfect dancing, the perfect moves, the perfect singing. But behind the scenes, do you know how many months and years of toil, of trouble, of pain, and disappointments that they had to go through to put on that one show? And it's kind of like that. You just can't go into a tantric initiation, get a tantric practice, and then guess what? The show is on. It's not like that. There's the homework behind the scenes. You know, the mantras do have power. The teachings do have power. The meditations do have power. Tantra does have power. And a lot of gurus, a lot of teachers do have a lot of realizations. But you see, what's the connection? You don't just show up, meet the guru, get the mantra, and you transform, and everything's perfect. And it becomes a perfect world. It's not like that. What you got to do is there's homework. Let's talk about the traditional homework that we can adapt in today's life. A, you got to take on the refuge vows. You got to hold your vows. You've got to hold your vows. No excuses, all right? You've got to study the vows, understand the vows, and integrate the vows. And you can't complain. They are hard. You know why? Because no one said enlightenment's easy. But then again, samsara's harder. So, let's do it the traditional way. A, you've got to do your retreats to prepare your mind, to purify your karma, and to totally create a cushion, a mind that is 100% soft, receptive, and filled with wisdom. The first retreat that everyone should do, everyone, is the first retreat you gotta do is prostrations, okay? You gotta go straight down flat on your body. and you got to do 100,000 prostrations. You got to learn how to do the proper prostration. You got to learn how to do the motivation. And you got to learn to meditate and focus and recite during your prostrations. And you can combine it with refuge. So you can really recite Namo Guru Be, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya while you're prostrating 100,000 times. 100,000 times. If you can think of an equivalent in your Dharma work that equals 100,000 prostrations, it's all right.
The second retreat that I highly recommend is doing 100,000 butter lamps, lamps, or equivalent such as candles. And don't get those small cheapskate little candles that last just a few hours. I'm talking about candles that last 8 to 12 hours in a safe place, 100,000. And while you're lighting these candles, think, as a light illuminates the darkness for us to see, then wisdom will open up the ignorance, which is equivalent to the darkness of our mind. So we offer this light to our Yidam, to our Buddha, to our deity, to our personal affinity Buddha. And we pray, as the light illuminates darkness, may the darkness in my mind open up, and I will be ready to receive higher wisdom, higher practice, higher meditations, and higher teachings. I will do offerings of light to you, my Buddha, who I solicit and propitiate, who is no other than who I am inside and I have not discovered. So we can do 100,000 lamps. That would be wonderful as part of our retreat. And if we can find something equivalent, that would be also fine. The merit is what we want. The third retreat that you have to do is purification. It can be Vajrasattva. It can be 35 confessional Buddhas. The purpose of purification is to remove all the karma that you have collected that will obstruct you, stop you, pervert you into thinking that Dharma is bad. All the negative karma that will make you believe that negative actions bring happiness. All the negative karma that makes you lazy, slow, unhappy, low self-esteem, angry, selfish, bitter, and that hangs on to the past. So when you do purification practice 100,000 times minimum, you will feel an explosion. Your mind will explode, and it will explode into colors of compassion and wisdom and understanding and acceptance of who you are and your level, and that you can move forward. So to do the purification practice will bring you closer, higher, and more ready for the most powerful person in the world. And that is Vajrayogini, or any tantric practice. That is your third purification. And if you can, do some Dharma work that equates to something as similar to purification, you may do so. The fourth retreat is a mandala. A mandala contains the form, formless, and desire realms of samsara, and all six classifications of samsara. Everything wonderful, powerful, beautiful, everything you are attracted to, everything that you want, everything that you desire, everything that makes your mind say, I want it, you visualize on this mandala. You offer the mountains, the trees, the birds, the animals, the lakes, the oceans, the fish. You offer the whales, the dolphins, the elks, the pandas. You offer every country, every city, every state, every building. You offer every superstar, every single athlete. You offer every single businessman, computer, jewelry, cars, houses, buildings. You offer every single piece of gold, diamond, ruby, sapphire. You offer everything fabulous and beautiful up there, and you offer even your attached people, your wife, your husband, your partner, your friends, your dog, your pets. You offer everything up without any attachment, without any sort of remorse. And you also offer up the attainments you wish to gain, bodhicitta, realization, shunyata, and renunciation. You offer up the lamrim and everything that it contains. You offer everything up to the Buddha without any sort of grasping. And you do this 100,000 times in order to gain the merits of offering. That is the fourth retreat. And if you can do anything else equivalent to this retreat, it is fine. Now, those are the traditional retreats that we do. We do the 4/5. In some traditions it's 4, in some traditions it's 5. We do 100,000 minimum each. Lama Tsongkhapa, he retreated to a cave for 6 years with a group of close students, and he did 1,000,000 plus of each of those retreats. And after he finished, he had direct vision of Manjushri. And from then on, he received instructions from Manjushri. He wrote down text quoted by Manjushri. And when he had any questions, he would ask Manjushri directly, any time, day, or night, instantly. The retreat purified the mind to be able to see high-level beings. So when we finish these retreats, then simultaneously, along with the retreats, we should practice the Lamrim and stabilize our mind in renunciation, impermanence, and the realization of our personal debts. And realizing our personal debts is not an intellectual understanding, but a psycho-pseudo-realization that pushes us to do more with our lives, to stop wasting our time in samsara. We can do dharma work equivalent to doing the 4 retreats. We can. And if we do dharma work continuously with a loving, happy, smiling, and compassionate mind, we will purify our mind and collect a tremendous amount of merit. So therefore, after we have finished our preliminary retreats, We have grounded ourselves, stabilized ourselves in the practice of the 3 principled paths, which is actually a summarization of the Lamrim text: death, impermanence, bodhicitta, and a grounding and understanding of emptiness. So we stabilize ourselves with Lamrim, or condensed Lamrim, which is the 3 principled paths. And when we condensed our minds with the 3 principal paths or Lamrim. Either way, Lamrim is just extended, 3 principal paths is condensed. When we stabilize our mind with the 3 principal paths and we have a strong grounding and a true realization of impermanence and death, then all of our actions will gear towards the Dharma. No matter what difficulties and problems and obstacles we face, we will not give up the Dharma practice. That will be a clear indication that we have realized death. Contrary to making us gloomy or sad or down, it will push us toward doing more Dharma practice. Then the second is to have bodhicitta, a intellectual and a beginner's feeling of bodhicitta. The bodhicitta, the wish to liberate others tirelessly, that any difficulties will not stop you from benefiting and liberating others. And then a intellectual or light feeling of emptiness. As my teacher used to say, when you have a realization of impermanence, bodhicitta, and emptiness, grounded by the four preliminary practices, then you will be ready on a rudimentary level for the higher tantric practices and teachings. So don't walk into a center, to a lama's presence, and thinking you are ready for tantra when you have done no homework, no groundwork, no practice, and your mind is unstable. Tantra is for those who have realized the three principal paths, if not anything except even on an intellectual level where they are at least actively practicing. As my teacher said, we can practice the three principal paths and Lamrim in conjunction to Tantra. After we have done our retreats, then we can look for the Yidam. And this is the most powerful person in the universe. This is one of the main practices for centuries of the sacred and very powerful Sakya sect. It is a sacred practice within the Kagyu sect, and it's one of the most sacred practices within the Gelugpa sect. All right? So you've got three major sects that totally has extracted the teachings of this powerful person, this being, from ancient India and brought it over. And now we're bringing it to the world. All right? Now, once you have found your teacher, you practice Lamrim, and you did the four preliminary teachings, then, with humility, humbleness, and steadiness of the mind, after you have checked out your teacher, your teacher has checked you out, you request for the initiation of the sacred Sindoora Mandala of this lady. And you receive her 11 yogas, and you receive her commentary, and you receive her oral transmissions. And then you do the tulk twice a month. You do her mantras, you do her sadhanas, which takes about an hour to 2 hours a day. And you do the preliminary and post-sadhanic meditations. And on top of that, you do retreats and fire pujas and self-initiations. And if you practice this deity all the way, you will achieve enlightenment. For those who are the highest practitioner, the most sincere, within one lifetime. For those of mediocre level, they will achieve enlightenment within 14 lifetimes. And for those of the lowest quality, they will take rebirth again and again and again in a place, environment, near a lama who will teach them these teachings again. And also, if you practice this sacred deity, you need no other yidam, you need no other practice, you need no other tantric deity. Vajrayogini is complete. Vajrayogini is totally complete. I want you to take a closer look at her beautiful face. All of us who want to practice Tantra, you have to understand something. It's not something you just show up and then you go to your guru and you get an initiation and you practice. Because you know what? If you do it that way, most people, not everyone, will fail because you're not ready. It's like getting a real fast car and just never getting any training or practice and you just go on the highway and you start driving. What's going to happen? Of course, you're going to have accidents. You're going to get hurt. And that's not the car's fault, but that's your fault. Similarly for Tantra, don't sit there with your mouths open waiting for the Lama to give you the most powerful tantric teaching in the world and you're not ready. You got to get ready. And if you are fortunate enough to get the tantric teaching, then what you need to do is be ready, practice being ready simultaneously with the practice. My teacher, Geshe-la, told me we can practice Sutra and Tantra simultaneously because our lives are short and it's the Kali Yuga. So you can practice Lamrim, the three principal paths, and the four preliminary retreats along with your tantric practice. That's not advisable, but it's possible. It is not advisable, but it's possible. Now, you have sought out your guru, you have sought out your teacher, you have checked them out, they have checked you out, you have taken refuge, you have followed your guru. From henceforth, the deal is sealed. You don't run to the centers, you don't run to the lamas, you don't run to the practices, you stick with your guru and you go all the way, because your loyalty will win you the highest enlightenment. Now after you meet your guru, you study the Lam Rim, you practice the Lam Rim. And if you don't have a guru around, get to the Lam Rim anyway. Practice the Lam Rim anyway. And if you don't know everything in the Lam Rim, practice what you know. Don't make excuses. I don't know this, I can't do this, and guess what? Then I can't do anything. Well, it's not like that in life. In life, you grab what you can, you do what you can, and you start whatever you know, and then you keep doing it. There's nothing in the Lam Rim you can do that can mess you up or that can bring you bad luck or bring you misfortune. Nothing. So if you have a guru, get the guru, practice. Learn the Lam Rim. If you don't have a guru, get the Lam Rim anyway and practice. And when you condense the Lam Rim down, it becomes the three principal paths. All right? After you practice the three principal paths and you're stabilized, or alongside, you do the four preliminary retreats. Prostration, butter lamp offering, Vajrasattva and or 35 confessional Buddhas and mandala. The last but not least of those four, you can add an extra one. It depends on what tradition. Guru Yoga. All right, Guru Yoga. When you're doing your mandala, you do refuge and mandala. Or when you're doing your prostration, you do refuge and prostration. Most people will do their prostration retreat, 100,000, and combine it with refuge. That's one. All right? Then you can do your mandala. That's two. Then you can do your Vajrasattva and 35 confessionals. That's three. Then you can do the fourth one, which is Guru Yoga. You can do the Guru Yoga of Lama Tsongkhapa every single day. Recite Miksema 100,000 times, thinking your guru and Lama Tsongkhapa are one, and dissolve it every day into your mind stream. Now, you don't simply go and do Guru Yoga without studying up. There are teachings. I've given teachings. It's on the YouTube. And you can study up on the Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa and then practice. Practice is not recitation. Practice is transforming the mind. So hence, let me give you an outline again real quick. You will do refuge combined with prostrations. And then along with that, study up how to do prostrations. Study up what is refuge. Study up, learn up. Don't simply do it. Study up and learn up so you get the best and the most out of your practice. Then you do your confessions. All right? Vajrasattva and 35 confessionals. You study up how to do the visualization, how to do the recitation. What is the procedure? What is the offerings? Then you do your mandala offerings. What is the mandala? How do you do it? What's the procedure? What's the meaning? What's the benefit? Then you do Guru Yoga. Study up and learn. After you've done all that, then you can go to your guru to request for teachings. And if you have the fortune to receive Vajrayogini, then you should get this commentary. This commentary is the quintessential commentary written by Kyabje Pabongka Rinpoche, who had direct visions of Vajrayogini, who spoke to Vajrayogini like I'm speaking to you directly, anytime, day and night. And in fact, she gave him advice, teachings, talks, and she even assisted him and spoke to him on how to, inverted commas, amend the current sadhana and translations and also meditations. So Pabongka Rinpoche wrote this down in his notes. This was passed down to His Holiness Kyabje Trigyan Rinpoche, and Trigyan Rinpoche taught this to all his disciples, such as Kyabje Sorn Rinpoche, whom of which I had the incredible, massive fortune to receive it from. So everybody should have this quintessential commentary on Vajrayogini by Kyabje Pabongka. All right? And it is called The Extremely Secret Dakini of Naropa, Vajrayogini Practice and Commentary. You can study many other High Lama's commentaries and teachings and practices, but this is the quintessential one. Once you study up and learn the commentary, you can meditate and practice. And when you meditate and practice, you will get the results. Hold Vajrayogini close to you. Hold Vajrayogini secretly and humbly and don't advertise. And learn up her meditations, her yogas. Learn up her rituals. Learn up her mantra. Learn up her pronunciation. Learn up every single yoga, which is 11 in her practice. And go into retreat or during the day, go into your practice and do it every single day without break. And hold your tantric vows. You gotta hold your tantric vows. If you don't hold your tantric vows, your meditations will bear no fruit. Kepje Sarangji stressed that. Hold your vows, receive the practice, do the meditations, and be very vigilant in your meditations, and you will gain results. You will gain Kechara paradise in one single lifetime. I gave you a little overview from beginning to end for tantric practice in this day and age. This is not even close to what you should know, but I gave you an overview. This is not enough information, but it is enough for you to start and investigate and start finding out for yourself more. I wish you luck. I wish you blessings. And I wish the Lineage Lamas will give you their 100% unadulterated, unfiltered blessings that you may achieve inner, outer, and secret Kechara paradise.